You know, that's a great song. It's neat to listen to. It's good to be able to sing along with it. Clap after it's over. Great song. But do you believe it? Do you really believe that His love is more than enough for you? If everything else was gone, would the fact that He loves you really be enough? When we started Not a Fan, we started that first Sunday, we started in John chapter 6. We're going to conclude Not a Fan this morning, and then in your small groups throughout the week, you'll be finishing it up. I want to encourage you, if you will, if you have your copy of Scripture, go with me back to John 6. And let's finish where we started. Because I want to show you the day that Jesus preached a successful sermon that was so successful most of the crowd walked away. And that is so contrary to the way most of us preachers think and feel. If I can preach a powerful message, then people ought to stay and keep coming and invite others. And the crowd should get bigger. The better I preach, the bigger the crowd should be. That's unfortunately the way many folks in my position feel. Jesus preached one of the most powerful messages ever recorded, and when He did, most of the crowd walked away. In John chapter 6, He asked the people, "Am I really enough? Are you here just for me?" If you didn't get anything else out of me, would I be enough for you? And on that day, we see a clear delineation, a clear separation between the fans and the followers. Let's look at it again. John chapter 6. Start at verse 2, and we're going to jump around a good bit in this chapter so that we don't take time. It's a long chapter. We won't read the whole thing, but start at verse 2 with me. A great crowd of people followed Him because they saw the signs He had performed by healing the sick. There was a bunch of people by then who were following Jesus wherever He went. But did you notice why they followed Him? Not so that they could have a personal interaction with Him. Not so that they could trust Him or even get closer to God. They followed Him not even so that they could learn and live what He was teaching. They followed Him because He could do cool stuff. They were following Him because they saw the signs He had performed by healing the sick. That is the enthusiastic admirer, the fan. The fans show up when there's a show. Jesus was able to do a lot of great things, and they wanted to see the great things. You know, the worst thing that can happen when there's cool stuff out there that's going on, the worst thing that can happen is you go all day long and don't hear about it until you're ready for bed and you check Facebook one more time and you say, "Oh, I missed that." And so word's getting around, "Don't miss this. This guy can do some cool stuff. You got to be here. You got to come." And word's getting around and folks don't want to miss it. So they're here for Jesus. There are some great fans here to see a great show. And then what happened with that crowd? Well, there were so many of them that he taught, and they listened, and he worked, and they watched. And it got to be supper, it got to be lunchtime. They're hungry. And the disciples start saying, you know, how are we going to feed all these people? We can't send them away to go to the nearest town because they'll never come back. What do? We got a crowd. Scripture says there's 5,000 men, so we can pretty well estimate, just kind of, it is just an estimate, but let's say there's 15,000 people there that day. Once you include the women and children, 15,000, let's say. How are you going to feed that many people? Andrew says, hey, Jesus, there's a little feller over here, and he's got his little Pokemon lunchbox. And in that little lunchbox, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I just picture Andrew. Think about it for just a second. Because there are people all up and down the hillside, all over the place. As far as you can see, there's a people. And Andrew knows there's nothing but this little lunch. And yet he still brings it to Jesus. And just think what Andrew's thinking. I can't wait to see what he's going to do with this. Don't you think that's what surely he just knows that Jesus is fixing to do something. Jesus, there's not much, but here's a little. Can you turn a little into something? And you know the story. Jesus takes the food. He divides it. He divides it so much that everybody has their fill, and there's still 12 baskets left over later. An amazing, amazing day. Everybody's full, it said. Now remember that. Everybody's full, and there's still leftover stuff. Amazing what Jesus can do. Well, that night, the disciples get in a boat, and they're going to cross over to the other side of the lake. Jesus sends them on their own, and they start on the other side. They don't get too far, and the wind starts blowing, and the waves start doing all this, and they're a little bit afraid. And then they look up, and there's a ghost walking on top of the water. And then before long, they realize that's not a ghost. That's Jesus walking on the water, coming out to see us. After he walks on the water out to the disciples, they continue to go on to the other side over there on the other side of the lake. Now, apparently the folks who had seen all the cool stuff and they had a good meal, they've been camping out because they want to see what's going to happen the next morning. Well, now it's the next morning. How many of you get full at lunch and then you don't need to eat again for another 3 or 4 days? You get full at lunch, you're probably ready to eat around supper time, but if you don't get supper, I guarantee you, you're ready for a good breakfast. These folks are hungry and they're saying, hey, Jesus is the food dude. Let's go find Jesus because it's breakfast time. And so they start looking for him. They realize he's on the other side of the lake. These folks are so into the show and they want so badly to be a part of another miracle that they go over to the other side of the lake and find him. And he starts telling them, folks, you're not even here for the show anymore. That was bad enough. You just wanted a show, but you don't even want that now. All you want now is bread. The only reason you're here to follow me is because you're a fan of the bread. But I have to just be enough for you for this to be real. He says, I am the bread of life. You're looking for bread. And just like Just like your fathers had bread in the wilderness, God sent that manna every day. These people are saying, hey, if Moses could do it, why don't you do it? Bring us some more bread, Jesus. And he says, you know what? They did that. God did that with manna every day. But every day they had to keep coming back for more and more and more, and they could never be satisfied. He says, but I am the bread of life. Once you eat of this bread, you don't ever get hungry again. Once you drink of the water that I have, you don't ever get thirsty again. He said, I have to be enough if you're really going to be my follower. Fans want the show and they want the popcorn on the side. Followers decide that Jesus is enough. Fast forward toward the end and see if you can find here in chapter 6, verse 58. Verse 58 here in chapter 6. Where he summarizes for them this truth. He says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Your ancestors had the manna in the wilderness. Look around and tell me, how many of y'all see great-great-great-grandpa here today? No, they ate, but they died. The difference is when I'm enough, when the bread of life is all you need, then you live forever. When you move from fan to follower, is he enough for you today? If you woke up tomorrow with nothing else, would he be enough? See, this is not the fun kind of preaching. The fun kind of preaching is the preaching you see on the TV where we get to say, hey, you join my church, you follow God, you'll get blessed, you'll get money, you'll get everything you want. You'll be happy forever, never have another problem. Your bank account will be full. You'll get an extra car in the next year. I'm promising you, everything will go great. And people flock to that stuff. This world is full of potential fans. But real followers are rare. That's why he said there's a broad path with a whole bunch of people on it that leads to destruction, but the way that leads to life is a narrow way and few find it. There's a bunch of fans in this world, but very few followers who say, yes, Jesus, if there was nothing else, you would be enough for me. Fast forward again, if you will, through the end of the chapter. Go to find verse 66, if you will. And notice what happened. When Jesus said, I have to be enough, I'm the bread of life, you have to find everything you need just in me and me alone. What happened? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They were not followers anymore. They had just been fans. And Jesus preached such a powerful and meaningful message that most of the crowd walked away. But then, look at verse 67. He turns to the 12. Those who have demonstrated that they are his followers. He says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? 12, what are we going to do here? He had that DTR talk with them, you remember? We talked early on about the DTR talk, defining the relationship. He said, 12, did you see all these fans that walked away and left? Now, what about you? Are you a fan? Are you going to leave me because I didn't give you what you wanted? Or are you a follower who finds everything you need and want in me? Verse 68, Simon Peter answered, as he always did. Simon Peter is always the first one to talk. Look through the Gospels, you'll be surprised how many times he appoints himself as the spokesman for the whole group. But this time he got it right. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" Jesus says, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter makes a clear and obvious point. Who would we go to? "Lord," he says. Lord, that means master. Your master. Who would we go to? Without you, there is no one else to follow. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." True, completely committed follower. He says, where else would we go? You're the only one who have the words of eternal life. You're the way. You're the truth. You're the life. There's no one else. And notice what he said there at the end in 69. "We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Fans say it this way: "Convince me and I'll believe. Show me and I'll believe." Peter said, "We have believed, and then we came to know that you are who you say you are." You see, as long as you wait for someone to convince you before you believe, you'll probably never get to that point of belief, because that is not faith. Faith is required of a follower. Peter got it in the right order. He said, "We believed, and then through personal experience with you, once we entered into a relationship with you based on faith, then through that personal experience with you, we have come to know you. And now we know that you are who you say you are." So here's the question. Matter of fact, I'm feeling good. I'll give you two questions. The first one is the simple one that we started with, and we've got to end with it. Are you a fan, or are you a follower? The second question is the one he put to the disciples. Will you turn away also, or will you follow? This is the DTR talk. This is the time. Is he who he says he is? If so, will you follow? Is he enough if he never does another trick, never does another miracle, never gives you another thing? Is he enough? Are you a fan? Or are you a completely committed follower? Father God, we want to thank you for your love for us. We thank you that Jesus is able to speak words of truth that go directly to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to respond to those questions that he put to the crowd and to the disciples, and help us to make certain that we are right with you, that we're real with ourselves and we're right with you. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us to that point where we can say once and for all, for the rest of my life, I am a completely committed follower. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this place right now, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, help us to hear you when you speak, help us to experience you when you move, help us to be obedient if you call us to a point of decision or commitment at this point. We pray that you'd give us courage to do that which you have called us to do, in Jesus' name.